So what I wanted to do was to diffuse impurities into opposite sides, and I needed to pick out the right impurities. Well, of the acceptor elements, the one that seemed most suitable from its metallurgical properties was indium, because it's easily melted, it's soft. We assumed it would diffuse into the germanium and make a p-type layer on one side. And antimony is a donor element, which would melt at about the same several hundred degrees centigrade. So I set up an experiment. I took a wafer of purified germanium, put a little drop of indium on one top, and some antimony on the bottom and on a metal plate. And I put this in a quartz tube with hydrogen going through it and heat it with a Bunsen burner till I could see everything start to melt and alloy together or fuse together. And I took it out and probed it, and by golly, I discovered that it would rectify very well. It was very leaky in the reverse direction, but it had remarkably good forward characteristics. It would carry several amperes at only a volt or so, which was very remarkable. Previous rectifiers had only been able to pass a few milliamperes. So I could see this had possibilities as a power device. And I did more experiments similar. I found that by etching it, I could get much better reverse characteristics. And I began making large area cells, a half a centimeter squared or so, by melting the indium and antimony on opposite sides of a wafer. And I made these into rectifiers that were water-cooled by soldering copper blocks on opposite sides. And I set up test experiments where you could pass hundreds of amperes in one direction and block 100 volts in the other, so I could handle many kilowatts of power with these rectifiers, which were rather phenomenal. So I proved out in practice that these would handle large amounts of power. Then I wanted to find out how they worked, so I measured the electrical forward characteristic very carefully, measured the current voltage characteristic, and I did this as a function of temperature because I found that it didn't obey the usual formula that people believed the rectifiers would show. In other words, exponential of EV over KT. They were not quite that sharp. Actually, they fit a characteristic of exponential of EV over 2KT. In other words, there is a factor of 2 that needed to be explained. And I puzzled over this for a long time. I went through Shockley's book and studied all his analysis as well as I could and tried to make an analysis that would account for the EV over 2KT behavior. Because the rectifiers obeyed this over a wide range of currents and voltages and temperatures all the way from 77 degrees up to 100 degrees centigrade. They showed this very consistent and surprising behavior. Well, it finally occurred to me that instead of an electron meeting a hole and annihilating each other, which would be a two-body go as a square of the concentration of carriers, it was linear in the concentration of carriers, and I proposed that the recombination happened by an electron dropping into a state midway in the gap and then meeting a hole that would complete the recombination process. In other words, recombination via mid-gap impurity defects. So I analyzed this kind of kinetics and found that it did explain the EV over 2KT very accurately. It accounted for the much longer lifetime that was being observed experimentally for minority carriers in germanium, and also their variation with impurity concentration and so on. So I pretty well convinced that I had a new model of recombination, which I discussed at a meeting of the Physical Society. Bill Shockley was there. After the meeting, he quizzed me at length about this, and apparently he was convinced that the mechanism was quite important. So he and Thornton Reed went through a very extensive analysis and produced a very formidable paper on electron hole recombination. So this process is known either as a Shockley-Reed-Hall recombination or Hall-Shockley-Reed, depending upon who you're talking to. Anyhow, it was a real important breakthrough in semiconductor physics because it is a new mechanism for how minority carrier lifetimes behave in semiconductors. Well, I went on and proceeded to publish this work on a PIN rectifier, as it's called, and also I've given that analysis of the minority carrier lifetime in an oral paper, I guess published also in PhysRev Letters or the equivalent. And this work on the power rectifiers was of interest to several GE departments. Of course, at Electronics Lab in Syracuse, this is where John Sabe and, what's his name? I'm trying to think of it. Paul Jordan were working, and they were commercializing these rectifiers as power converters for TV sets. And they made rectifiers that would handle several hundred volts with little pellets of indium soldered to the germanium or alloyed to it. And this is a commercial product that GE was producing. And John Sabe became interested in the possibility of making transistors, and he built some structures with alloyed indium on both sides across a thin wafer and produced some working transistors. I was working along similar directions at GE, but I believe his records predated mine as far as a working transistor, and he has the GE patents as far as alloyed transistors go.